what's required, the back end, if you like. And for the first time yesterday, when I went to Marion's session, I realised that in effect what we've done is started at the other end, and we've created this piece of software that I could see the connection. So I could see that really we could be the back end, the actual software end of what this is. Because what we were facing was we've created this piece of software that, with a little bit of magic, works. But there was a whole lot of the theory that I knew I had to plug in, and I thought, well, she's already done it. So I think the missing step here is, as Spiros was referring to, you don't want to do the work twice, and if you're going to go to that sort of trouble, it would be really nice if you had something that you pushed a button and actually produced something and it worked at the end. And I think looking at that, without too much work, I really think we may be very, very close to having that.
I think there's a definite theme where every planner we talk to says, right, can we use your guidance? And you can, please do, that would be brilliant. I think the current wiki it's in is not the most flexible way of having it, so that, because it, you know, if everybody uses our guidance but takes it into their own system, then, you know, how do you maintain it? We've got to find a way of keeping this centrally and getting it out there, and I think that's going to evolve an iteration from where we're at. I mean, it's kind of a very basic thing at the moment, for example, is what we really wanted to do was put RSS feeds into the guidance from certain key sources. And just because of the complexities of the particular wiki we use and how it was set up, we just couldn't do that now. You know, whatever, but we're going to have to, that's got to be sorted, it's ridiculous. So, but I think that's definitely something we want to do. And yes, you can't search it on Google either, that's the other quote. It's not Google searchable now, that's not right.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of the really fantastic things you've done with Phoebe. I think the kind of extensive knowledge is really, really valuable, and we need to find ways of getting that out and using that in lots of different ways, linking it into LAMS, linking it into other ways. And as you know, we've tried to do it with Compendium LD. We haven't got there yet. But I think it's interesting. If you take Compendium LD as something to help visualise, if you take the aspect of Phoebe in terms of the really good in-situ context-specific help, you know, coming back to the question about the level of detail, Marion, is another big one and is an issue. And then LAMS is something in terms of delivering. If we could somehow make the connection between those, that would be incredibly powerful. I think the issue about the level of detail is an important one. How do you do it for novices versus experts? And maybe it's something about kind of almost switching the context sensitive help on and off. And I mean, I feel frustrated. We've done a lot, Andrew's done a lot of work with Compendium LD in terms of trying to put in situ help, but it doesn't look quite right yet, does it? So it's a question of whether people will use it, and until it looks nice, and it's just the right, because people are really fickle, they won't stay. If it's not perfect at that moment, they're off. So random thoughts.
And another sort of random thought just in response to that, if everybody's using our advice, we've got to somehow maintain that, and you know, we don't necessarily have the resources in Oxford to indefinitely maintain the archetypal source of all guidance and learning design. That's got to be
But maybe we can somehow, going back to James, how we connect, maybe somehow, because it can't be the responsibility of any one person to take on the role of, we are forever going to be the kind of developing the guidance in this, because it just won't happen. But can we find something that starts to link up the key good sources and keep an eye on those? As you say, the Edu Course, Seven Things About Sight, is really excellent. Phoebe's got a lot of really excellent sites. So kind of have a kind of shared set that we develop and somehow help those co-evolve. So we kind of spread our kind of risk, if you like. That would be the kind of vision, I guess.
I think there's this thing about maintaining the site. There's a real problem there, because, and it's something we found with OpenLearn, is when you put up something that's really well formed, no one wants to contribute to it. It's like, and Wikipedia found this, that the articles that get most contribution are things that say, this is just a placeholder or something, you know, and then people feel there's something to do. And so in some ways your problem is that you've given people the kind of perfect thing, so therefore there's no point to contribute to it. And I think that's a really, I don't know how we get around that problem, that it's imperfection that kind of makes people want to contribute, and so, but you can't hit the ground with just a load of placeholders, and that's what we found with OpenLearn. It's very, people take it and use it, but they won't remix it or come back and do anything with it.
it's a lot more imperfect than everybody seems to think. But and the pedagogy section still needs some bits written, so if you want to contribute to whatever it was, inquiry-based learning.
I think if I can just follow on from Ando, there is something quite fundamental about there are certain types of Web 2 communities and things which their nature encourages participation and people get into it. And there are other times when, for whatever reason, it has a shape or a look that people say, oh, that's good, but I won't get in on it. And I know I've often had the experience that when I create things which I thought people were going to do stuff with, instead they just go, all right, that's their thanks and that's it. So there is some challenge here of finding the right balance between good advice, because teachers do not want to read lousy advice that's only half edited, okay? Our busy lecturers will just, you know, toss us out the door immediately if that's the case. And yet, if it's, you know, if no one gets in and contributes and builds, then we get stuck with sustainability. And whether it's you or someone else, someone ends up feels like they're carrying the can for more than they can. So this is it's a hard problem to crack at the moment. Ah, good. The funding body will solve it.
Well, I was going to say that we are funding a new program around curriculum design and curriculum delivery over the next 4 years. And for us, we have a vision that there will be a central resource where a lot of the work that we've done to date in this area could be held for those projects at the start, but also that it will then be populated through the outputs and the outcomes of these new sets of projects. And the vision for it as well is that some of that work will be undertaken by our GIST services, so obviously CETUS and other services that have a responsibility for maintaining sets of guidance materials on websites will be involved in that central project. So for me, sitting here, I think there's a tremendous opportunity of what we've just been hearing about trying to ensure that there are links between these different systems that could then make use of the guidance materials that Phoebe has started, that we could then perhaps continue to populate and also provide some support, you know, for obviously that's the UK education sector, but the materials are freely available on the web for anyone to use. So that's sort of the vision that I'd like to see for where we go next with this, and perhaps based on a Wikipedia-type model where we can then start communities to actually engage with materials far wider than just those funded projects in the UK would be an absolute wonderful thing to see happen.